leaving, man. I was making $600 every 2 weeks as a QA tester. $600 every 2 weeks.
I forgot about this, but tell us about your exit from Mysterio. How was that?
Ah, man. Heartbreaking. Man, I remember I called you. Like, bro, I was hurt. They called me randomly, like, at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was like, hey, let's have a quick meeting. And they were talking about how things are going great in the company and things like that. And, like, they just dropped the ball. Yeah, we're going to have to let you go.
How was it job searching in the pandemic?
Oh, man, that was a dark time, man. I remember I had a spreadsheet for maybe, like, over 200 jobs. Probably more than that, honestly. And it was a routine of, did I reach out to the recruiter or did I find anybody on LinkedIn that work at that job? And a lot of people weren't biting, and man, that hurt me. That humbled me like crazy.
What's that salary jump from Experian to OC as doing an infrastructure engineer?
The base is 180 and total comp is 214.
All right, so we finna do this icebreaker real quick, man. So if you could be any character in the movie, who would you be?
In the movie, I have two. Tony Stark and Thanos. It's kind of dark. But.
Why? Because you self-centered and egotistical?
Yeah, in a sense, yeah. Thanos was right a little bit, but not too dark. Nah. TV show, though.
Whatever he says is going to be Cap. Whatever he says is going to be Cap.
Nah, James St. Patrick.
Cap.
You think so?
I know so. Jim St. Patrick. I told him the other day that he's more like Tommy than he is Ghost. He don't want to believe it.
Nah, man.
He don't want to believe it. It's all right, man.
Nah, James.
Tommy got his own show.
Yeah, that's cool, but it ain't hitting like James.
It's cool. You can put a mic to him too, you want to.
All right, cool.
All right. For me, movies for me would be Major Pain. Like, that's one of my favorite movies. Major Pain. Actually, I'm going to give y'all a spin. Major Pain and then maybe Jack Black. So, Mr. Schneebly on School of Rock. I think those two would be like characters I would want to be. And I know y'all probably like, what? Like, really, out of all characters? But those are some movies that still bring me joy to this day. So, that's why I picked them. But welcome back, y'all. It's episode 99 of the Tech Talk Podcast. Well, I'm your host, HD. And we got my boy Marquise in with us today from the Ratchet City to boot, and he came to talk with us. But if you're on YouTube right now, you know what to do. Please hit that subscribe button and share it out if you're interested in the show or you want everybody else to get these gems we're going to drop for y'all today. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other streaming service, leave us a review, follow the podcast. It really helps us out in the podcast algorithm. But, man, I saved my closest friends to come to be in the in-person episodes and close to my 100th episode. So this episode 99, I got one more. I'm going to try to get another surprise in-person guest, but he's so busy. We'll see if he gets on here or not. But, yo.
Yo, what's up, man?
Marquise, go ahead and really tell the people about you. Like, who is Marquise? Or Mr. Marquise, as we call you.
That's a good question, Mr. Marquise. Self-centered, ego, high ego. Nah, but I'm pretty humble, you know. Come from a generic background, you know, black guy from the hood, Sunset at that. From Shreveport, Louisiana, where, you know, a lot of people don't make it out from. So I'm blessed to say I made it out from that. Well, both me and Henri went to Woodlawn. Woodlawn High School, graduated in 16. And I went to Bibsy for college as an associate's. Crazy thing is, side note, I never used that degree for anything.
We'll talk about it a little bit. still got to open him up, guys. He really don't be this nervous. I don't know why he's so nervous right now.
Yeah, just got to get the feel.
I was about to say something really funny, and I forgot about it. Oh, yeah, y'all. So he's not a real 90s baby. You just heard him say he graduated in 16.
97 is a 90s baby, bro.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, if you're watching the podcast right now and you are a 90s baby, what is the cutoff for 90s babies? Because I believe you have to be a millennial in order to be a 90s baby. So if you're not a millennial and you're born in the 90s, that means you're not a 90s baby. You're a Gen Z 90 kid.
But I remember a Disney show saying 2002.
He don't remember all of them. He said 2002.
Yeah, but I mean,
exactly.
I'm still the 90s baby, though.
No, you're not.
Oh, man.
You're not. It's cool, though. It's cool, though. But one of the things that I want to ask you is, what made you, so going through Woodlawn, if y'all don't know, Woodlawn is like in the hood. It used to be a white school. It's not a white school no more. What made you want to get into tech? Like, I'm pretty sure, like, hey, shout out to my cousin. Listen, they told me a joke. I got a cousin. I ain't going to tell y'all his name. But he didn't come from the hood or nothing. He went to Woodlawn for one day with a backpack on. And Marquise and them said, cuz came to learn.
Man, he was ready to learn. Bro, nobody at Woodlawn had backpacks, bro. We didn't have any homework, subs, like, strictly substitutes, bro. Like, man, that man came to school to learn, and he left the next day. Didn't even come back. That was embarrassing.
And that's probably why that school's so violent. Because you heard it there first. They ain't have nothing going on at that school. But let's go past you graduated and you decided, well, actually, at Woodlawn, did you do the career center? Is that what made you want to be in IT?
Nah, actually, man, when I was in high school, we had a math class, Ms. Levi's class, and I made a textbook-based game with Python. It was some type of game. Once you get the answer right, it's like a snake trail, and once you get all the answers right, you make it past that goal and you win. That's pretty much it. But it was a basic game. I learned it from YouTube, and that I'm not sure what made me decide to click let's learn Python or something like that. But I think it was Khan Academy. I think it was Khan Academy, but no, it was Code Academy. It was Code Academy. But yeah, I just randomly clicked on something and just decided to start learning about it. But that was pretty much it.
Do you think the fact that you grew up playing video games attributed to you wanting to get into tech, like an IT type of role?
Hey, yeah, I'm not gonna cut. Yeah, 100%. Because who wouldn't want to be a game designer at our age, at that point when all we did was play games and go outside? So, yeah. But
yeah, I know. I remember watching Kim Possible and whatever the fat dude is that was in the basement.
I ain't never seen it.
That's why he's not a 90s baby, y'all. That's why. He don't remember Kim Possible.
I remember it.
He ain't watched Kim Possible. He ain't watched Even Stevens. He ain't watched Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off. Nope. He didn't watch Life is Rough, The Cheetah Girls.
Nah, Cheetah Girls.
He didn't watch The Luck of the Irish.
Yes, I have. He ain't seen The Leprechaun.
He didn't see Going to the Mat. Nah. Exactly. He not a real 90s kid. It's
the
cool.
13th year?
He don't even know what Smart House is. Exactly. He's not a real 90s kid, I'm telling you. But so I'm trying to see how I'm gonna bring this one in. Did we meet before you start working at CSRA or after?
Before.
Okay. And when did you start working for CSRA? Because I'm trying to bring the timetable in.
I started working for CSRA in LSUS? 2016.
Okay, so yeah, I think I remember it.
I met you in 2015.
Yeah, so it was 2015. I still technically was working at CSC at the time, or maybe it might have been SRA. They had so much crap going on there. Mm-hmm. And I was working, and my cousin at the time worked at State Farm, and he was getting insurance or something for his car.
Yeah.
And they made small talk, and she told him about me. But I guess the funny thing is, he is best friends with one of my younger cousins. So it was just funny that somebody that is actually older than me and that other person told him about me versus the other cousin. That's kind of funny. And ironically, y'all, the church he went to was next door to the church that I used to play drums at, my home church. So that's also funny. So I remember him coming over there one day. I think Kelvin might have been there too. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we met. And then from then, I think I put this either in a WhatsApp group message or something.
Yeah, it was WhatsApp with Tavion.
No. I didn't know Tavion yet. I didn't meet Tavion until 2017.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We was in a couple of groups.
Yeah.
Because it was one, you, Kelvin, and Cameron.
That's right.
We had one too. So
with Tyler too.
Yeah. So I put us in a couple of groups or a group meet, whatever it was. But that was kind of like the start of this. And like since then, he became more like a little. I got younger brothers, but he became like the little brother that I never had that was close enough in age to me, because I'm 12 and 13 years older than my younger brothers and 16 years older than my youngest baby sister. So you went to Bipsy right after Woodlawn or what?
Yeah, like literally right after Woodlawn. We graduated in May. I started going to school in August. And
how was that experience going to community college?
It was great for learning the basics or anything like that. But they really didn't have any pretty good material. Well, as for, you know, Louisiana in a sense, well, Bossier. But I wouldn't recommend going to a community college than a university, because, you know, you can get your feet wet and you can figure out where you want to go in a sense, right? Rather than go to a big university like LA Tech, I hate to say it, and you don't really get the resources that you need or whatnot. So it was pretty more beneficial to go to a community college, because I was actually routed to network security, but I really wanted to get into cybersecurity at the time, but they didn't have cybersecurity at the time, if I'm not mistaken, but I learned it from you, actually. And that's when you pointed me to write the directions and what classes to take or whatnot, what would be more beneficial and whatnot.
Yeah, because in Louisiana, there weren't a lot of cybersecurity courses. Matter of fact, I'm so old, at Tech, and it wasn't even called cybersecurity. It was called information assurance. Now, seriously, if you go to people that's like my age or older, they remember the term information assurance. You rarely see that now, but because then, you know, information security, cybersecurity, they're the same and different. So you got all those different things going on. But so how was it briefly for you to, did you get some service at Bipsy?
I had got my A+. I got the CompTIA A+. I got the CompTIA healthcare IT.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was bragging about that one, because I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go work in cybersecurity in a hospital or something like that. But nah, there was a
you could have. If I knew what I knew now, you could have. You possibly would not have to leave. But that's cool though. So I always tell people community college is a good option, because you can get certifications and go to school for cheap. Matter of fact, you may not even come out of pocket for it.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people fail to realize. Now the thing is, you go to a bigger university, you really born for that prestige network. You never know who mom, dad works where, who knows this person. So that's the mindset you got to go into when you go into a bigger school. But if you just want to learn, like Cameron, then go to that school. But briefly, let's talk about, so your two jobs in Shreveport, CSRA, and I would say Asteri, those were like the two main big kid jobs you had, right?
Yeah, those, yeah.
What were you doing at CSRA?
What was I doing? It was more of a help desk. And I didn't feel like it was a help desk. It was pretty much a basic learning experience for, you know, overall what you want to do in tech or whatnot. You know, troubleshooting, simple troubleshooting, things like that. Oh, is your computer working, anything like that? It was literally simple. So I got bored of it, quit. However, they let a mass of us go maybe like 8 months later. And I found out about Asteri maybe about 2 months later. Around December, and I ended up being a QA tester there. So I learned a bit more about QA testing, and again, I started using Python with them or whatnot, and that led into numerous of other things.
So for the audience out there, can you tell them what QA testing is and what QA stands for?
Quality assurance. QA is mainly about testing test cases with people's programming language. Not programming language, I'm sorry. People's projects or whatnot. So I could tell you a perfect example is we had a project where we were building a website on WebEx with this thing called Lucha Central. And my job was to test the website basically to see if there were any bugs, you know, any JavaScript errors, any security errors like brute force, anything like that. But I didn't have the knowledge or the resources to use that with. So I created a automatic pen testing with OWASP Zap. Are you familiar with that? Yeah, so I created a automation tool with Python and OWASP Zap, and that led into web penetration testing, in a sense. So that's what gave me that deep dive into cybersecurity or whatnot. So, but I know I got a bit off topic, but
nah, you good.
Quality assurance, it was pretty much the basics of trying to understand what people are trying to do in tech or in code or whatnot. Engineers, DevOps. Yeah, off the top of my head, I think that's pretty much it from what I remember.
Yeah, I remember. And how long? So when did you start working at Asteri?
2017, actually, literally while I was in college.
Yeah, so you worked there a while. You worked there for about close to 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. Man, I thought I was going to be at that company forever.
Really? How? So tell us about your, I didn't put this down, but I forgot about this, but tell us about your exit from Asteri. How was that?
Ah, man, heartbreaking. Man, I remember I called you, like, bro, I was hurt. They called me randomly, like, at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was like, hey, let's have a quick meeting, you know? And, you know, they were talking about how things are going great in the company and things like that. And, like, they just dropped the ball, like, yeah, we're going to have to let you go. And I'm like, you know what I've done? Like, why? And I'm not sure why. They probably didn't even give me a clear answer. But, like, I blacked out at that moment. I was trying to talk to some colleagues. I damn near broke down. And I just left out of that. I called you and you was like, man, you know, that's a sign. Come out here, man. Come out here.
We're gonna get into that. And hey, I was really, shout out to Dante, because I was thinking about Dante when they called you and let you go. He net, okay, all right. That Denzel in that training day, man. I know that's how you felt. I mean, listen, y'all have seen my videos. When I got laid off from McAfee, my coworker was walking out with boxes. I was so young and naive, I wasn't paying attention to that. That ain't a good sign for nobody. And he mouthed, like, good luck to me.
Yeah, man, so, I was hurt.
But, you know, I was upset. But shout out to Chris. I think me and Chris had went to Papado's or something that day. Like, mm-hmm. I hit up a couple of friends. And I was like, yo, I just got laid off. It's kind of like I got laid off. But I still was in master's, doing my master's at the time. And I was getting a severance. So I was like, in my mind, being so naive, I say, oh, that's cool. I'm not gonna be working for that long of a time.
Right.
So I was just assured that I was gonna have a job within 1 or 2 months. So, hey, this is a gym part. I was out there being stupid. I didn't have a job, but I was out there living life. I was going, like, friends were coming in town. We was going out partying, all different type of fun, stupid. How old? I might have been 25 at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might have been 25 at the time. So, of course, I was operating how a 25-year-old would be acting. But in retrospect, what I would have did was I would have started doing some gig type of work and just saving the money to pay my important bills. And I would have navigated a little bit better. But, you know, hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah.
So the time that you got let go was around what?
Thanksgiving, 2019.
Yeah, you're right, because I came to Hayes.
That night
in Hayes. I saw you in Hayes. That was like one of the first times I ever went inside Hayes.
Yeah, same. That was my first time there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And
we went to El Dorado.
Yeah.
Had that shrimp fried rice.
Yeah. For $10. I can't never forget that one.
I remember that. Cause
I was messed up.
Nah, you was messed up. I wasn't messed up. He was a rookie then. Like,
yeah, I was messed up.
But after that, I want to say it might have been, was it like December? December when you came to Dallas?
Nah, it was literally the day after Thanksgiving.
I'm trying to remember.
I remember the day after Thanksgiving.
No, because I was there for Black Friday. That's why I'm like, because I don't know. Did you come while I was still in Shreveport?
No. Actually, yeah, you were there for Black Friday, but when you went back, I went back with you. Obviously, we're driving different cars, but yeah.
I was just trying to remember. Like, that part is kind of foggy to me, but I remember because it was late 2019, and that's when I still was working at Optive and I still was working in office. Then I had just told you, I was like, man, shoot, you can come. Then bit of transparency here, guys. The reason why I decided to say he can come, you know, stay with me is because, one, when I moved to Dallas, I came and moved with my aunt. So it wasn't like I just had it set up. So I was like, if I could be in a position to help somebody else out, and I know a type of person they is, they're going to be on their feet not like pretty soon. It's cool. And so that's what I decided to do. And the funny thing is, like, we had probably like too much fun around that time, but we didn't know that we were about to go into a pandemic, which made like a lot of things slow down. And and definitely get a very interesting. But before the pandemic happened, funny story, guys. I probably never said this on the show, but me and him used to do Uber Eats. We used to do Uber Eats. At that time, I think my first daughter, her mom was pregnant with her, so I knew. I said, okay, what am I going to do? Let me see, get out here and do this Uber Eats, get some extra bread or whatever. And I'm not gonna lie, y'all, I had fun doing it. His experience is a little bit different from mine because he's the definition of literal. But briefly, listen, man, there'll be times he was doing something. I say, yo, I'm finna go do some Uber Eats when I get out of work or whatever. Or it was certain times you can get that rush. Like matter of fact, I did it before him. It was a Sunday night, and I said, man, I'm finna go drive. I think I made like $70 that night. I did like two or three trips. I was like, oh, this ain't that bad. And then after that, he got on it to start doing it, and he was doing good, but he was doing one thing that he shouldn't have been doing. So Uber Eats would say to the person who wants the food, it says, deliver it to the door. This guy was dropping it off at the door. So he was doing contactless delivery before anything was declared a pandemic. And his score started going down and down. Like, for example, let me show y'all something. With Uber, I got the black card, which means I can go put in the orders for the guests. He wasn't even close to that. Man, he was like, he was like, man, how many trips you been on? I've been on about three. Man, I ain't been on none. I was like,
I'm just sitting at home just waiting on them to call me.
Man. And I ain't gonna lie, y'all. So if you do want to do a gig something and you don't like people, do Uber Eats because they're gonna tip better, if not more, than when you actually take them somewhere, because people love when you take care of their food. You know what I'm saying? And a couple of times, if they don't ever come and get their food, that's free food if it's something you like.
Yeah, I stayed.
What you bought home today?
Some Slim Chicken.
Yeah, I forgot. It was like a whole family pack or something.
Yeah, man, that was pressure too. But nah, man, when they said leave it at the door, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I just drop it off at the door, send them a message saying, you know, hey, your food's here. And just leave. And they always say, oh, I didn't get my food. Sometimes I deliver it to the wrong house. I mean, it's Dallas, you know, so what you expect? But he started calling me Mr. Drop It Off after that.
No, it wasn't Mr. Drop It Off. It was Mr. Drop Off.
I guess I wanted to be called Mr. Drop It Off.
Mr. Drop It Off implying something else.
Yeah, Mr. Drop Off. Oh, man.
But that was funny. I had to bring that up because, well, no. Y'all, he has another name that I forgot. Besides being Mr. Drop It Off, he also was DiGiorno. I used to call him DiGiorno all the time.
Is that the...
That's the pizza.
Yeah, the pizza from Walmart.
It's everywhere.
Oh.
It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
See, yeah, I never had it.
Because he's not a real 90s kid.
Nah, we did have it.
Nah, but y'all had that Red Baron's pizza. That pizza that's in the black box in the frozen section, Red Baron, and the Tombstone. I know y'all had Tombstone pizza.
Nah, it's
Tombstone wrap up in the plastic, and they got the little cardboard.
Okay, yeah,
under.
That is Tombstone.
Tombstone, y'all probably had them Tony's pieces. It's like a yellow box.
Yeah, the Tony's.
Of course, Tostitos. Like, trust me, I know, because I used to watch myself when I was younger. So
I ain't gonna lie, bro. I just pick up the piece and don't even look at it. We just go pick it up and put it in the microwave. That's it. Or the oven.
Man, and then a brief pandemic story, and then we'll actually get into some stuff. But when the pandemic hit, y'all, we were staying together. So, you know, you couldn't do much. They start shutting everything down. So everything was either you had to go pick it up or whatever. Because the pandemic started for us was one day we went through Uber Eats. And I just turned my thing on and said I was available to deliver. No calls. Because everybody started going in and getting their own food. So it was like, what I need you for? The only benefit from that was in Texas, well, at least Dallas, now you can get margaritas and stuff to go. Before then, you couldn't. You had to just drink them there. But one particular day, we wanted some burgers. And y'all know, for whatever reason, when the pandemic started, everybody bought up all the tissue, all the bread, all the food, everything. We went to about four or five Kroger's before we could even, like, find some bread, some buns. And I don't even know if they was the Hawaiian rolls or whatever, but I think we found them. The only thing that they had a lot of was liquor. Like, you never had an issue trying to go to the liquor store.
You ain't lying.
Like, that's the only thing. Listen, that's why all the kids was born over the last 3 years, pandemic babies. I got two of them. Well, nothing to do but make babies. But
oh, man.
How was it job searching in the pandemic?
Oh man, that was a dark time, man. I remember I had a spreadsheet for maybe like over 200 jobs probably more than that, honestly. And it was a routine of did I reach out to the recruiter, or did I find anybody on LinkedIn that work at that job, and did I reach out to them? And I had some scripts, not like Python scripts, anything like that, but I had some scripts, you know, just copy and paste, just add their name on it, just repetitive over and over again. And a lot of people weren't biting, and man, that hurt me. Like, that humbled me like crazy. Like, I was humbled.
Yeah, because I think at that time, a lot of your experience was more QA based. And see, all right. So he's also one of the first people I helped. Mm-hmm. He was trying to pivot, and it was one of those things where he knew security stuff, but we weren't doing a lot of showing and telling on the resume. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I tell clients now is they want to pivot. They want to put all these skills on here, but we're telling and not showing. For you, yours was very much still, as the girl saying, it was given QA, but you wanted to get in, you wanted to get in cybersecurity. So for that, it took a while. And you did get a little distraught. You did get a little distraught. But, you know, TJ came through
at Goliath. Nah, man.
Shout out to that boy TJ, man.
Nah, yeah, mad respect for him, but $15 an hour to be a SOC analyst, man. That was, I took it. Like, who wouldn't? You know what I'm saying? You need it, you know? So it was more of a, that was more of a wake up call for me too, because I was doing, I don't even think it was SOC work in a sense. I mean, it was slight work, like a typical IP address is using AD. We use Alien Vault.
Talk to him.
What? Carbon?
Carbon Black.
Carbon Black, yeah.
You was getting your hands on some good tools now. They just got over on the pay.
Yeah, and it was to a point where I was just coming into the office maybe like 3 days out the week, and next thing you know, last time I went in there, the doors were locked. They never hit me back. I've been seeing the emails. When can I come in? Man, they did me dirty.
Yeah, that didn't last long. But, you know, right after that, y'all, so I want to tell y'all a little bit something too. What's so fascinating with our journeys. He pretty much started his Dallas job journey off the same way I did. Same company, same position. He ended up working at Income as a NOC engineer. And how did we help you do Income? Did you just apply? Did I just see the opening or what? I forgot.
Yeah, you saw the opening. You was like, man, you can always just apply to this job I worked for. And I said, at that point, you know what? Backstory. You know what? I can use Kanye West analogy. Sway, you ain't got the answers. But then, like, probably after I got the job, it was more like, well, he did have the answers. So, but overall.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. He also was like, he wasn't being hard-headed. He knew what he wanted. But I was saying, at this point, bro, any experience is better than no experience.
Yeah, man. I wanted to be up here, like, already, like. I didn't deserve to.
But you was. But that was. I don't know. How old are you now?
25.
Exactly. So at this time, you was what, 22?
Yeah, 22. Well, yeah, 20. Yeah, 22.
Exactly. So you see how fast you're trying to fast track yourself at 22? We know people. I was going to say something else. We know people that's in they 30s and 40s that still ain't got it together.
Yeah, that's
and
facts.
You're trying to compare sometimes yourself to anomalies in the industry. And that's what a lot of people do when they watch my channel, they watching on social media, they see everybody, you know, living it up or doing like all these different things. I'm like, I feel y'all, but just take your time. Just slow down. Yeah. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, slow down, stay in your lane, and you won't get no wrecks. I told y'all that.
That's facts.
But how I remember, I was working out at the gym at the apartment when you told me that you got the Income job.
Yeah.
What did you get paid at Income?
$50,000. And man, I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
That was a lot of money.
It was, because I got, like I said, I was getting 25, so mine was like close to 50, and there's a little bit more because you used to get overtime and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. It was crazy to me though, they didn't adjust the salary within, like, at that time. That was 2020 when you got that job.
Yeah.
So that would have been like almost 4 years. So I was surprised that they didn't adjust the salary by then to be more. But I think you was remote. You never went into the office on Beltline Road, did you?
Yeah, I went in one time, and that was just to pick up the laptop.
Okay, man. I got a lot of good memories in that knock right there, man.
Oh, man.
It was the smallest knock ever.
Oh, it was bigger then.
Really?
Yeah, they like tore down one of the rooms and just like extended it.
Oh, okay. So it just went like a, like for me, it was only room for really technically four people at a time, but ideally three. Yeah. Ideally three.
Yeah, I think maybe seven or eight could fit at the time.
I wish I had some drink, man. Right now we had to pull for real, man. Had to pull one out for Tim and Frank.
Frank died too.
Yeah, oh, I told you Frank died.
Oh
man.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Tim, man. Tim was probably one of the nicest guys I know. He's not my best manager, but he's one of the better ones I had in my career. He was. All right, free game too. When you go to different companies and you get managed better, it kind of helps you as you go to different companies. Tim was the first manager at the first company where I started doing one-on-ones with my manager, whether it was once a week or every couple of weeks. And I set that precedent at every other company to where I can have my one-on-one so they can check on how I'm doing and vice versa, or just not being scared to schedule time. So that was one of the things that I liked about Tim and Frank. Man, Frank used to do – so I used to work – Wednesday to Saturday. So on Wednesday and no. I used to work Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah, my schedule.
Yeah, Thursday, Sunday. So I used to work on Thursday and Friday, 8 to 4, 8 to 5, whatever that was. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I was 7 to 7 in the morning. And then Frank would come in at the night, man. So shout out to Frank. We've been there watching TV or whatever, like Pager Duty. I remember Frank was telling us, like, When he interviewed, he was in his drawers. But, you know, it's from the neck up, so you couldn't tell. He just had a suit jacket and stuff on, man. He came from San Antonio, man.
That's crazy, man. I found that.
R.P. Frank, man. I didn't know you. Yeah.
Man, actually, me and Tim was supposed to go out that upcoming Saturday to meet for the first time. And I kept, you know, blowing him off. And he told me a quote. He said, The biggest lie we tell each other is we'll see each other later. And man, like right after that he died, I said, dang, that's devastating. So I don't know, I take that for granted, you know what I'm saying?
And yeah, I don't. Between the time working at Income and then my next company, I had lost like two grandparents back to back. So I really don't take it for granted no more. If I can get a chance, mm-hmm, to see a person, I try to, because sometimes that's you real. Just never know.
That's real.
And if I had my equipment with me, I would probably play Outstanding by the Gap Band to lighten the mood up real quick.
But we didn't talk about that salary part when I was working with Asteri. Man, y'all wouldn't believe me, man. I was making $600 every 2 weeks as a QA tester. $600 every 2 weeks, man. I had enough to pay my rent one time. Well, probably had to wait for the whole month check just to pay the rent or whatnot. And then after I graduated, I started making a bit more money. But, you know what I'm saying, it was maybe what?
You know what? That's one of the reasons why. That's why I was telling you to come out here.
Yeah.
Because you told me what you was getting paid, and I said they getting over.
Yeah, like crazy, bro. And they wanted me to start doing web pen testing or whatnot. And you asked, how much they going to pay you for it? And I said, maybe like $33,000. And you like, yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah, because that's the thing. So it's not something, I'm going to say he struggled with it, but he was so young. He was in Shreveport. Most people wasn't even making $600 every 2 weeks in Shreveport. Mm-hmm. If we was to look up the, matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. You keep talking. I'm going to look it up so I can bring it up.
Yeah, it was, y'all wouldn't believe me. With web penetration testing, man, it was pretty simple. You know, I was mentioning earlier I was doing the Python automated scripts and doing all the testing and whatnot, but the pay was, I thought it was a lot of money at the time, you know what I'm saying? But when Amru was like, yeah, bro, that ain't nothing. That ain't shit. It humbled me because I'm looking up to Amru because, you know, he got the GT, by the way, and I'm thinking like, man, I'm trying to get like that. And nah, I was no one near it, but that's embarrassing to say. I can't believe that. And folks in college was asking me, man, how much you make? I said, man, I make some money. Because I'm really thinking it was some money. But nah, it wasn't.
So in 2020, even though it's 3 years ago, I'll assume this number hadn't changed that much. The median income in Shreveport was $23,879. Now for households, it was $40,809. Now, so that was just medium. Like I said, it's not like a lot of people not making money. They're getting over. And one of the main reasons is lack of high income skills and education. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of two things I try to combat with even talks like this, because How many male teachers did you have through school, all grade school? Black male teachers.
Maybe one, Mr. Cosby in the sophomore year.
Who?
Mr. Cosby. Hey, chill out. I used to laugh at his name too. Nah, he was a real one though. He used to give us some good lectures, but that was the only black teacher I had.
I had two. So eighth grade, Mr. Burris, math teacher. Ninth grade, Coach Green, also my math teacher. So only two.
We used to have the coaches as the teachers also.
Yeah.
Man.
So it's only two. It's not that many, but it's just one of the things of positive male, you know, influences in your life. And then we can even get back on the street board a little bit. It's like I've told in these last couple episodes, my people didn't make a lot of money.
Max.
I remember I used to say just in college, like, man, I used to think 80,000 was a lot.
Oh, yeah. You know, back in the gap, you think you're making $50,000 to $80,000 a year. You start looking at them homes in Shreveport, like, dang, this for $100,000.
Facts. Hey, listen, y'all. Years ago, 2015, I was about to try to get a house. It might be a 1,400, 1,500 square feet for like $94,000.
Man, we think
in Bossier City.
Oh, in Bossier.
Yeah, my everything's gonna be like $600. I think my everything. It was gonna be cheap. But I didn't have the down payment and stuff like that. I didn't really plan for it. I learned a lot. But just think, you can get a house for that much. I think it's went up since then. But so that's one of the pros. Like, so if you make, like at that time, I was getting $20 an hour. And that was considered to be making a lot of money. That was like right at $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I was putting in too much work to be only making $40,000. I knew people doing less work than me, making close to $80,000 and $90,000 mm-hmm. at the same company. So I was like, I'm not a fool. So I kept on trying to leave. And eventually eventually, I left.
Yeah, so I think moving out of Shreveport was the biggest hack. That was the best decision I made.
Yeah, we changed our environments.
That's facts.
And so, what did you do in the knock? Because I think you got to do a little bit more stuff than I did.
Yeah, I was thinking Logic Minor. We used What's Up Gold, of course. You used that one. And Splunk. Those were like the main two things. But Splunk was literally... Man, I didn't care what anybody did with What's Up Go. Like, if you want me to do Splunk, I'm your guy. Like, bro, I was a guy.
You're not the guy, pal.
Nah, it was. Yeah, I learned Splunk. No, I was introduced to Splunk at Asteri, like just on my free time. But I learned Splunk mainly at Incom from, you know, search queries and things like that. But I think that broke the barrier. Incom broke the barrier on me getting Splunk search.
That's where I got introduced to Splunk to. Chloe and I were talking about on the podcast. We didn't know Splunk would help us make this much money.
Yeah, that's fact.
And y'all, he making a lot of money now.
Oh, yeah.
They call him Big Money Q now.
Oh, man.
I think, and I won't remember, because I was already telling him about learning Splunk. And he was, if I'm not mistaken, you had already set up, like, either got your Splunk Essentials or... Core user, you had got something before you went to the knock, because I had already told you about learning Splunk, and I think you had already set up your own instance.
Yeah, I set up my own instance, and I did get a core user, and I think I brought that to the table, and I was hired like that same day.
Because everybody didn't know how to use it. Like, only person who knew how to use Splunk was Jesse. Shout out to Jesse Rubio.
Oh yeah,
he the one that like kind of showed me the different things and how to use Splunk. And at the time, it wasn't Splunk ES. I was just using Splunk. Because our company, see, he could really get a bigger bag. Well, he already getting a big bag. But if he wanted to get a big bag, our company technically was in PCI DSS.
Oh, yeah.
So if he go through and pretty much probably get some type of infrastructure certification for that, like Splunk or some kind like that, like probably start consulting with it.
Yeah, that's true. That is my next step, but we'll talk about that.
Man, but all right. So... Now, the funny thing about working in the knock is it's experience, but it's extremely boring.
Yes.
Because you are typically just responding. There's no things you're working on or nothing. You just bored. Like for me, he was at home, so it was easier for him. I went home. I had to wake up on the weekends to drive, sometimes just not to do nothing. It was sometimes the old owner of Incom, at times like Incom OLS, he would come in through the office and like I was like hoping I wouldn't sleep. I used to be asleep up there. I used to color. I used to have guests in there that wasn't supposed to, like, you're not supposed to have guests in a knock, but you know what? I was the only person there, and I wasn't going to just be lonely
because
you had me coming in there and not doing nothing. I remember, like, I've said in episodes, like, my first time working by myself, I missed the alert. I thought it was testing. Everybody's trying to tell me, he's like, man, hey, during the week, y'all, you know, they should have did a tabletop with me before that, because it's kind of like, I never missed alert after that, but that time was kind of confusing. I was like, oh, you know, hey, maybe I think they testing.
So, man, I fell asleep. You know what? I was in training, actually, and I fell asleep on a major Walmart alert, and Walmart was down, bro, and it was down for maybe about 2 hours, and I was out of there. I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and my boss was like, "What were you doing?" I said, "Man, I was trying to troubleshoot this whole time. The whole time I was asleep, and I didn't told on myself, but but man, I was asleep, man. But dang."
All right, so how did you get back on the hunt and land that gig with Experian from being a Knock, like just working in Knock? Because people don't typically go from working in Knock to being a Splunk engineer.
That's true. I ended up creating my own environment, and I used that as a resume also. So after I created my own environment, I understand the fundamentals of the core user, and then I ended up getting the power user. And I did one of the admins. I think it was system administrator. Maybe system administrator. And once I showed that I had the course completed or whatnot, and then I demonstrated on how to utilize Splunk, and they were in awe in a sense. And they were migrating to Splunk Cloud at that particular time too. So I really didn't have to worry about, you know, doing anything with onboarding data, anything like that. So it was the perfect opportunity for me. And I think I negotiated that salary, actually.
Can you tell the people what that jump was?
Well, they were offering, I think, like $85K, but after I showed them that demonstration or whatnot, and I used that leverage, actually, yeah, you taught me that. And you was like, go up as high as you can, because the worst thing they can do is say no. Man, I asked for $100K, and I was just bluffing, and they gave it to me.
Funny thing is, he probably could have got more.
That's true.
Because before you left Experian, you actually was making more than that, right?
Yeah.
What was your ending salary from Experian?
From Experian, maybe like 110 base.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you do in that role? Like, what is in that role? I know you were a Splunk engineer, so what did you do?
Well, it was mainly about optimizing the environment, improving the environment, because it was terrible, first and foremost. I'm talking index equals... Wild card. and they were just overloading the search head and everything. So, you know, it was more of getting people the certain access they needed to use certain queries. These teams had access to these indexes or whatnot. Man, it was terrible. But at the end, it took me maybe about 6 to 8 months to do so. And I got bored. So, and you know, once you get bored with something, you know, that's something to...
That ain't what happened.
What? I did get bored with
you. Got bored, but when they trying to make you come in office?
Yeah, you know what? Nah, because I was living in Baton Rouge at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah, they did. They did try to make me go into office. And at the time, I was living in the BR or whatnot. And I wasn't vibing with that. So I was moving out back to Dallas anyway. And they wanted me to go to, I think it was the Plano office. It was probably the Plano. No, Allen. It was in Allen. And I wasn't vibing with that. So, yeah. I
remember that, because you was... Yeah, because you was moving as I came back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
I wasn't vibing with that. So I'm like, yeah, let me go ahead and start looking for something else. And coincidentally, I'm working hybrid right now. So it really didn't make a difference or whatnot. Right. So what did you
learn there that you were able to build upon, like that you could speak to in interviews?
What, with Experian?
Mm-hmm.
It gave me the confidence, actually. It was more of confirmation of what I know and what I can do or whatnot, you know. So when I know I wouldn't recommend beginners doing this. However, I go to interviews, you know, sometimes interviews that's out of my league, and when they tell me their day to day or whatnot and what they do, I write that down and I try to utilize that and make it seem like it's my day to day. You know what I'm saying? So I'll tell you a perfect example with what was that job? It was a cybersecurity job that you Splunk. It was downtown. I kept getting rejected from that job.
What, Oryx?
EY.
Ernst & Young.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kenneth.
Man, I was getting hammered in interviews, and I'm talking about, it was simple interviews. But it because they wanted me to demonstrate a lot of things, and I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. So I'm just BSing in the interview or whatnot. So I used to take all of that information and I used to utilize that outside the interview or whatnot. So once I learned that for my next job, I can just ace. They'd be like, well, damn, he know what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't recommend that for a beginner, though.
No, I actually do recommend it because interviews are like tests.
Okay.
One of my objectives with my clients is to get you to interview as fast as possible when we keep on interviewing, because we build off the interviews, and that's why I have you record yourself and take notes.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a string of interviews where maybe I didn't do high on this question in this interview, but I remembered that question, mastered it, and used that question as an answer in the next interview to where I didn't blew them away, because I've just been learning while I've been interviewing. So no, that's actually a smart thing. That's why you're supposed to keep interviewing. It help you get, it's like fighting. It's just like playing ball. Like if you only playing basketball maybe once every month, you're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you practicing and you hooping every day, you're going to be better. You know? If you live in life like, you know, Terrence Crawford, you're going to be good. If you like Errol Spence.
You ain't had to do that one, man.
You're a goldfish.
You ain't had to do that one. He did do that.
So outside of EY, was that the only interview that kind of left you stumped?
Oryx, Chase.
But the comeback on Oryx. Oryx is one of the ones that's before income.
Nah, that was, I applied again.
Okay, really? Because yeah. See, Oryx, one of them companies I feel like don't like to hire us, to be straight, to be totally honest.
Yeah, man, I was, man.
Because they told me, they was like, yeah, you got a lot of experience, we're going to talk to you. And I ain't never hear nothing back. Matter of fact, listen, you keep talking. I'm the king of receipts. Watch this.
Man, I was hurt, bro. Like, with Oryx, I feel like I crushed that thing, too. And, you know, me knowing Splunk and all, I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, you know, I got the job or whatnot, but nah, that wasn't it. It wasn't.
Yeah, this is back in March 8th, 2018, talking to Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
So she kept on rescheduling all my interviews and stuff, and mm-hmm. she did the same thing to him. That's why I said, oh, there's a pattern here.
Yeah, I was hurt.
Like, I got a whole, listen, look at this. Y'all can't see this because it's far away, but don't this look like a follow-up but I ain't getting no response?
Yeah, that's like a rejection from a date, from a second date or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy because these are roles I would have been good at, but I didn't really get a fair shake at them. Yeah. I don't even think I even got a deny. I was like, oh yeah, bet I'm going to be working downtown, all this lot of stuff, thinking I'm going to be cool. But at the end of the day, when you're going through your job search, what job is for you will be for you.
That's true.
It ain't going to seem like it, but the one you're supposed to get going to be the one you're supposed to get, unless you got a lot of offers and you go with the wrong move.
That's true.
So trust the heart of the cards.
Yeah. So after Experian, I'm at OCC now.
Yeah, we was going to talk about that now, the transition. That now you're much more, I guess technically infrastructure, you're doing infrastructure now,
mm-hmm.
but you're much more than what you were doing at Experian. Like what's the skill set level, the difference between what you did at Experian versus now?
Experian, I'll say that's beginner level, honestly, because it was more of doing search queries, you know, like fixing alerts, customizing dashboards. I mean, some people can do it, some people can't, but OCC, that really put me on my toes because it's more of the architect level. It's more of, you know, actually getting in the deep end, you know, connecting indexer, search head. We migrated Splunk Cloud. It was, all of that was new to me, but I recently got my Splunk architect, but I learned all of that from what I did at work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably the best, or it probably is the best experience I ever had.
Yeah. And so I was going to ask you two things. What's your typical day in the life like? Like, the people love to hear about the day in the life, especially when they're trying to do a role that they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
What's a typical day in the life for you?
Man, I hate to say it, but it's mainly building out environments and troubleshooting over and over again. You have this moment where it's a bit overwhelming, but it gets better. So just to answer your question, I normally just go to when I clock in, I do my first 3-4 meetings in the morning, and I get on my projects more of building out environments, making sure logs are being ingested properly. If certain clients want to see particular logs or have dashboards created, I do that also. I do too much, honestly. And it's not just Splunk. It's Logic Monitor, AppDynamics, Cribble. But it's more.
CribbleCon was happening the same time SplunkConf was happening.
A word?
Yep.
Oh, man. I do want to check them both out. I should have went to the one this year, though. But yeah, overall, it's mainly just architect, like strictly architect. I've done slight engineering things, but it's more just making sure everything is properly connected. Because with the company I work for now, it's more about availability in the CIA, and we never go down. So my main job, excuse me, my main job is to make sure that everything is up.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about Fat Joe.
And what?
What song he's on? Love. Slow down, baby. Some. I don't go down, baby. Whatever Fat Joe say, but I just never thought about that. I know you didn't. It's What's Love. Ashanti and Fat Joe, What's Love got to do with it?
Oh, I thought it was a movie.
It is too. But so this what y'all need to understand too. Now, what's that salary jump from Experian to OCC as doing an infrastructure engineer? Drum roll, please.
The base is 180 and total comp is 214, I think. I can't remember that part. You know, I got bad memory, but, yeah, it was a huge jump. But, the reason why that jump was so huge was because I can put them on game about this. I was telling
them, tell them right there.
So when, let's say, if you want to learn about Splunk, this is the simplest way to do it. Get you some EC2 instances and put some heavy forwarders, universal forwarders, search heads, indexers, all the 9 yards, you know, deployment server, and just build your own environment. Once you build your own environment, you know Splunk. That's as simple as it gets, but with less detail, but you know how to do Splunk Architect at that point. You know, you know the ins and outs. So at the end of the day, that's what helped me get this job. So,
but you answered, I was going to ask you, like, what would somebody need to know for Splunk? And guys, also, he only has an associate's.
Oh.
So he only has an associate's degree. And I highlighted that because either we're pushing boot camp or we're pushing for your degree. It really don't matter. I tell people all the time, if you got the skill set, they'll hire you.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the biggest thing. Now, the hardest thing is for his skill set, you'd have to take a lot of time to learn that. And you'd probably be best from learning from a person like him that does it in order to get the skill set. If not, then you might not have a skill set because you're going to have to be able to talk that language and understand it. Like even right now, shout out to one of my clients. He recently had a take-home assessment and I helped him with it. One, because it was two, that's the other part you get when you work with me is not the fact that I'm just doing your resumes and networking. No, I'm in the trenches with you. If you get something like that, I'm going to help you. And I showed him how you would do a project if you had to actually do something for a company. And I showed him how to be very thorough with it and to bring up examples, references, and everything. And I know for a fact we did the best take-home assessment. And I'm not saying we as in like I did everything for him. I just gave him suggestions of what he can look into. And then I reviewed it and I said, that looks good. But that's one of the things when we say, like, shout out to the RIP to the Godfather, man. I was watching something from Kevin Samuels a couple of days or a couple of weeks ago. And he was actually when he was talking to the men and he was telling the men about how they need to invest in themselves. They might have to invest in coaching or something like that, because mentorship, like he said, is something that's not too formal and it just comes like in a different way. Everyone is not going to have a mentor. So sometimes you have to pay for that coaching. So sometimes what you're looking for, you may have to pay for. Like me and Broadus talked about last episode, like you got to put in that investment time. Like you said, you want a company to invest six figures in you, but you want to invest any figures in your life. You want everything for free.
That's facts.
And that's why you might be hitting that roadblock. You're like, dang, am I really doing what I need to do? Am I talking to who I need to talk to? What's the barrier to talk to them? Right? Think about it. He has he has access to me. I've gave him access to Tavion for years, and there are other people. You can't normally get access to these type of people without knowing somebody that knows somebody.
That's true.
It ain't about what you know. It's about who knows you.
Side note, man. Remember I told Tavion I was trying to get into cybersecurity, and my fire stick got hacked, and
we was laughing at you. This dude kept on, but that's another thing why I told you I stopped using the fire sticks. He couldn't even like watch stuff because the internet would either stop working or go slow.
Man, Tavion was blowing me. I forgot what my password was, but that thing was simple, man. He was like, "How you trying to get into cybersecurity? You got a 5-character password and."
I remember that.
Man, that was embarrassing. Shout out to Tavion, man.
Definitely. Now, would you say you are a principal level now?
Yes, I would say that. But there's a lot more to learn. Well, with Splunk, I feel like I exhausted all my resources with that. So that's why I'm trying to go towards my consultant certification. I'm just trying to see what else I can learn. I do want to get more into the enterprise security side and Phantom. So I'm going to reach out to Kenneth. I'll reach out to Kenneth about that.
Phantom or XOR. Both of them. Palo Alto. If you know how to interact with the different Palo Alto apps, that's money.
Word.
Now put that on a cracker, dude.
Money.
That W sauce. Man, I meant to ask you this because it's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. How would your wife describe what you do for a living?
Hey, man, somebody asked her at her job what I do, and she told them something about income. She was like, I monitor transactions, and once the transaction failed or fraud, I got to figure out where to go and send them the IP address and, I don't know, call the police or something. I'm like, what? Like, nah, that's not what I do. She honestly didn't. Well, let me rephrase that. She knew I worked at OCC, but she didn't know where it was. She thought it was Experian at first. So she, I don't know.
Also, this is another question I just thought about too. Being that your first couple of jobs weren't like, well, the role you did at CSRA just wasn't like a role that people was gravitating towards, but yeah. No one knows who Asteria was. How beneficial do you think it was for your career, the fact that you have an experience on your resume?
Man, like when recruiters reach out to me, they say like, I see you have a Fortune 500 on your resume. You know, I would like to reach out to you so we can discuss more about future potential jobs with else. Let's say which. I know I did talk to one about Google. I think I was bragging about that one, but it was just a recruiter reaching out to me. I'm like, oh, shit, Google, but nah. After having experience my resume, I've recently like had continuous amount of recruiters just reach out to me over and over again just because of experience. But
the reason why I said that is because I've told people this. It's one of my tweets back in the day where I said, like, the companies you work at matter. Mm-hmm. It's like dating. It's kind of like, you know, the dude who used to the baddies because like all his chicks, like he got a type, they all bad. And then you know the dudes who used to just, they regular degler. Like it's like the same thing for people's resumes. Sometimes people don't want to take a lesser role at a bigger known company because they're either trying to like you, for example, when you didn't want to do the knock gig because you was just like, I don't want to do this. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do cyber. But I'm like, just take an income. It's a decent name. It's in the payment card industry. Just trust me. Mm-hmm. That led to Experian. That led to OCC. Mm-hmm. Same thing with me and the companies I worked for in the last two with JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. Finance companies always reach out to me. I've been reached out to Fidelity for a big bag before. So it's the same thing. Also, the industry you're in, the niche you're in, makes sense. And it will help you get jobs because if you already understand the industry, they're gonna find you. So okay, they're in hospitality, they're in retail, they're in finance, they're in tech, they're in transportation, gaming, whatever, all these different industries. Companies like that that's in there that are big in that market, real estate, they'll reach out to you. Shout out to what's her name? Kendra. I think she posted about her getting a gig at Zillow. And I think she was at Microsoft before that.
Really?
Yeah, and I think she had a background of being a teacher. I think so. Nice. I can't remember. But like I said, names matter. Names matter. So if you are chasing something but you're not getting it, kind of take a step back, reassess, see if a good name is out there biting. Go work there, get your experience, and run it up. That's literally all you got to do.
That's facts. Man.
So this is another fun question I want to ask him. So, man, how is it being 25 and being in the top 5% of earn? How is it being 25, being in the top 5% of earn? What is going on? I got it this time. I'm going to get it together. How is it being 25 and being the top 5% of earners?
You know what's crazy, bro? After last night, I found out that I was in the top 5%. So, and I'm not going to lie, like when we talked last night, bro, it was like, it hit me because I'm thinking like, damn, like, bro, just 3 years ago, I was crashing on your couch trying to figure out what was the next move. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's a bit overwhelming to still process it, but it feels amazing because, you know, there's a long road ahead of you, you know, and I'm not even in my prime yet. So not trying to get,
nah, you know, I get you.
You know, so like it's an amazing feeling. And I honestly wouldn't go back to change anything right about now. You know what I'm saying? So if you know what, if I'm my ego up here, I'm in the top 1% from trading. But nah, we ain't gonna discuss that probably.
But Kanye said, I got a big ego. She loved my big ego.
That was him and
Beyonce. That's okay. A remix of Ego. See, he's not a real 90s baby. He was a little kid when that song came out.
I remember Overnight Celebrity.
Anyway.
Nah, isn't that the Marvin Gaye, the Luther Vandross? A Little Anita?
No, that's not it.
What is
that? That's Slow Jams.
Okay, see, my bad, bro.
That's just seeing how I just looked at you. Look. I also want to talk about this because I didn't put this down. Us being from the same city, granted years apart in age, how beneficial was it for you to change your environment, to change what you perceive to be different now?
That's a good question.
Think about it. When I moved out here, y'all, I never saw the hood. I swear to God, I know where it's at, in Oak Cliff, but outside of that, I ain't never see the hood. When I moved my aunt, just driving, didn't see no hood. I was like, what? Like back home, you driving in the hood, turn into Lyon Avenue, you're like, okay, we see where the tax dollars start and where they stop. Out here, it's different. You'll normally see people in nice cars, they have houses, the kids, they go on trips. You'll see it's different things. Sure, it's more expensive out here, but you see where your money is going for in the different school zone. Well, school districts. It's expensive with those property taxes. But good education, overall, just a better quality of living. I think that's the big one. The companies are coming out here. See, where we're from, ain't nobody coming out there but the casinos. That's literally all they be trying to build, casinos.
Man.
But the thing is, the casinos make all this money, but they don't want to pay the people at the casino.
Man, you know, when I moved out here, I was thinking of, side note, I've never seen this TV show. I just saw the interest of it.
The Jeffersons?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah, but, you know, like him pulling up to the mansion, Uncle Phil's crib or whatnot, that's how I felt like Legacy West was. Shops at Legacy, you know, the North Star. Not the North Star.
The Four Star.
Frisco Star. Man, I felt like, you know, my energy level was high because it's like it was a big difference from where we come from. Man, we come from Sunset, Cedar Grove, you know, Pines Road. And you don't see anything like that. Bless you.
Man, I used to leave my door unlocked a couple of times in Frisco.
Oh, yeah.
It's a couple of nights I fell asleep and my door was unlocked and nobody came in.
Same, bruh. Side note, it was one night I went to Canton, Texas, and bro, I thought I left your door unlocked.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I drove all the way back. And
was that the New Year's time? No. New Year's time, you forgot to get some gas or something. You did something you shouldn't have.
Man, I was intoxicated and you had to talk me out of driving back to Shreveport that night.
You was like, man, I'm finna go, man. I was like, bro, what did you want?
Bro, it was so quiet. Next thing you know, I was just on one. I was like, yeah, I'm about to go. I forgot what happened.
Man, but so you mean to tell me if I said in West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days.
Yeah, chilling to some. I don't know the song. When people sing it, I nod my
so
head.
If I say, if when a couple of guys, they were up to no good, they started making trouble in the neighborhood. I got in one little fight, my mom got scared. You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
Okay. I ain't. See, yeah, bro. Like, I didn't watch Fresh Prince.
He didn't watch Fresh Prince, Saved by the Bell, Boy Meets World, Smart Guy,
Living
Sister
Single.
Sister, Living Single, Jamie Foxx Show, Martin, The Wayans Bros, Different World. He didn't watch The Cosby Show, Malcolm and Eddie, The Parkers, Moesha. He didn't watch none of that.
I mean, we had cable. It's just, I mean,
he's not a real 90s kid. He was watching, I don't know what you was watching. To be your age, y'all had, I don't know. What
Power Rangers?
Besides that, I'm talking about a show that everybody watched. He didn't watch Family Matters or Full House, Step by Step.
Nah, I watched Full House.
Now, you probably watched Two and a Half Men. Mm-mm. Men.
Mm-mm. I just found out about The Wire on Twitter maybe about a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
All right, Bobby Shmurda. But this is another impromptu question. What's next?
I'm looking towards getting the Splunk consultant certification because I was thinking about, you know, starting my own business with that and try to reach out to other clients and see if anybody needs to utilize Splunk or whatnot. I don't know. This is just a big idea right now, and I need to find some resources to reach out to in regards to that.
I think I got something for you. Now, we could briefly talk about, I guess we'll give you a little time to shine if you want to talk about, y'all, he's like a famous investor, trader. He was on a podcast not recently in Miami trading.
Oh, yeah. That was in what, April?
I don't know when it was, but you was out there.
Yeah, that was in April, man. I made, what, like 140, about 140K in what, two or three months. I can't remember the exact time frame, but yeah, I'm technically a day trader. I trade commodities, gold, silver, platinum, mainly gold. But that's what I do for my free time.
He was also an IML.
That's a lie. That is a lie, man. I'm not dissing the company. That's just something.
They don't even exist no more. You can diss them.
It's called IM Mastery or some crap.
Yeah, they like was that. A pyramid scheme.
Yeah, But yeah, this year I topped maybe about, I think about 140, 142 or something like that in a few months. This was dealing with a proprietary firm, a prop firm. And it was probably a good feeling. I think I called you that day. Man, I was shaking, bro. But yeah, that was a good feeling.
So you going to start your own prop firm?
With all that going on.
Then you can set up Splunk to monitor for anomalous behavior.
Hey, that is a good idea, though.
Maybe you could do that for prop firms.
See, that is a good idea.
It's a good data analytics tool, too. So
yeah, get all their logs suggested and whatnot and see who placing trades in Saudi Arabia and live out here in Florida or whatnot. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right. What would be like three things you want to leave the listeners with, or like whether it's, or books that you want them to read or something, like especially if they want to get like you, like what would you do? What would you tell them?
The first two books I recommend is The 12-Week Year and Atomic Habits. Those books, those two books changed my life. With advice, it's kind of cheesy when I say this, but You need consistency and discipline, and you need a really good mentor, because without those three things, you'll definitely strive away from your path. I honestly think you need to create goals and stick to those goals 100%. And I mean, you can set your goals high, but, you know, set them to a point where, you know, you can have a little satisfaction in between, because if you set those long goals that's maybe a year out from now, then you lose track easily. You know what I'm saying? So just set those small goals, and you know, those small goals can equal long-term success.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't really, Atomic Habits was cool. I listened to the audio book, but some of the stuff I liked, other than that, it wasn't like just revolutionary or groundbreaking.
It was a bit repetitive, but you know, once you
it was cool. I mean, it definitely was cool. Mm-hmm. I need to listen to the Auto War and you know the what's the one that they tell you to watch out for? People
48 Laws of Power.
Yeah.
Oh man, I be quoting that book like crazy.
You know, because he think he ghost.
Somebody caught me quoting that thing at work, and she was like, "Not you reading the 48 Laws of Power, bro." I was
never outshine the master,
bro.
That's the one I always remember. You know what I'm saying? No matter what, I mean, and we're gonna close it out with this, but no matter what, really, Naruto and Sasuke really never tried to outshine Kakashi. You know what I'm saying? They always let him have his shine.
Stop that, Cal.
They didn't try to outshine him. It's the difference between outshining him and trying to.
Sasuke didn't, he didn't try to outshine him, but Sasuke was going to kill him, though.
Yeah, he was only going to be able to kill him because he wasn't going to attack him. He definitely would have lost.
Kakashi.
No, Sasuke. The same dude that had plot armor against Killer B.
Cap.
It's not Cap, bro.
I can, bro.
He was finna die against Rei Kage, too.
Bro, that's a Rei Kage versus Kakashi?
Bro, it does. Are you serious?
Bro. Kakashi is not stronger than the Rei Kage, first and foremost.
Double MS is.
Cap.
No, it's not. Rei Kage's jutsu set is limited, too. Kakashi got stuff to combat that. He already has Kamui, so he got ways. He would figure out a way to beat him.
Well, at least the Rei Kage or Sasuke didn't have to rely on somebody else's stuff, though.
Honestly, the freaking Sharingan might have been a more of a hamper to Kakashi versus not having it at all, because it was, you know, he had to have it closed most of the time.
Hey, you know what? He was a Jonin without it.
Because he's still cold now in Boruto.
That's true.
But y'all, we not finna bore y'all with this talk. This is live stream type of material. Marquise, where can our listeners pretty much, how can they keep up with you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Marquise Environment. And I don't know my Twitter name, bro. It's Marquise with maybe like 5 or 6 S's and an underscore. So he could just put it in the bio or something. I don't know it off the top of my head, but Marquise _ Environment is my Instagram, and I'll be posting soon. So,
and y'all already know how to keep up with me. And y'all been doing great on all the videos. Y'all been liking, y'all been sharing out. Just running up again. This is the first in person episode. There'll be many more throughout the year and also for the years to come. But I appreciate y'all. And like I always say, let's stay textual. It's your boy HD. And we out.
What's there?
Peace.